This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, help our attitude to be that of Paul's, that we who seek the crown of righteousness might continue to fight the good fight, might continue to finish the race, might continue to keep the faith in you. Amen. I have never been so humiliated in all my life. Have you ever said that? Has somebody ever said it to you? Humiliation. The same root word as humility, literally to be of the earth. And the gospel that we hear today reminds us of that drastic need in all of our lives for that virtue. I had an experience of humiliation I'd like to share with you. Many of you know that Dee and I were blessed to go to take this course in Oxford and Cambridge with the world's leading living expert on C.S. Lewis. One of the highlights, the culmination of this course, was to go to Magdalen College in Cambridge, where C.S. Lewis spent his later years on the staff and faculty there. And on a Sunday, the leader now of that particular college just happens to be the retired Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. And he had agreed that he would come and worship with our little group of 12 on Sunday morning. Imagine that, the 12 of us and Rowan Williams, and then give us a private lecture on C.S. Lewis. This is the head guy. This is the big cheese. And this guy is amazing. So we get to Magdalen College and we go into this beautiful chapel. Now it's set up like the old monastic chapels with seating facing this way for their recitation of the Psalms. And we just walk in and sit down. Well, we sit down and I suddenly notice in front of me is this old book. Now, I was amazed, why was this book sitting there? I opened the book up, and it's almost like the pages are going to fall apart, and if you go to the next slide, it's hard to read, but is a copy of the Book of Common Prayer, the 1662 version. If you go to the next slide, we tried to do a close-up, but over in the bottom there, the copyright on that book is 1754. This was a valuable book, and it's right in front of me. Well, Rowan Williams doesn't show up right away, and so our professor decides he's going to do a little mini lecture, and he tells us that when C.S. Lewis lived at Magdalen College, his dorm room was right above where the chapel is. And what C.S. Lewis was known to do was he would put the tea kettle on, he would come down the stairs and go to chapel and sit, and when he heard the tea kettle start to whistle, regardless of whether the service was finished or not, he would get up and leave and go have his tea, which would be an indication, I guess, to the preacher if they were going too long. We don't have one of those here. Now, Herb, don't get any ideas either. Well, the professor goes on and he says, and he would come down and he would sit right there, and he pointed right at me. I had the special book because I was sitting in C.S. Lewis's seat. I was feeling pretty puffed up. Now it was all about me. Well, Rowan Williams doesn't show. And so our professor, Robert Banks, says, well, you know, there's 12 of us here, and we're all different denominations, and this is the Church of England. It's Anglican, and there's only one Anglican amongst us. So, Marty, would you come down now and lead us in morning prayer? And all I've got is the 1662 Book of Common Prayer. Well, I'm not feeling so puffed up anymore because I had no clue where I was going to shuffle through and find all these things in this ancient book. But then I thought, they're not Anglicans. They don't have a clue. And Dee's the only other one here, and she doesn't know. So I thought, we got it covered. So I come down and I open it up. O Lord, open thou our lips, it reads. And I'm thinking, they won't know what to say. And all of them say together, and our mouths shall proclaim thy praise. And I'm like, how do they know this? And I'm shuffling through trying to figure out what's next. And I did a halfway decent job. And they all respond with everything right away. And I'm wondering, how do they know this? We get about halfway through, and I'd ask one person, because I knew where the psalm was, and I said, you pull out the Bible and you lead the psalm. And it gets time for the psalm, and I say, Kent will now lead us in the psalm. And he says, okay, everybody, it's in your program on page 3. They all had a program, just like you all have for 9:30, that took them right through the whole thing. And I'm up there with this 300-year-old book trying to figure it out. I was never so humiliated in all my life. So we go on. We finish, and at this point, I'm, well, what else can I do but add a little humor to it? And at the end of the service, I said, the teapot boileth, the service is over. To which they all responded, thanks be to God. So, let it be known, Rowan Williams did show up, give us this incredible lecture after that, but from henceforth I will be known most famously for the one who opened for Rowan Williams. It's not about us. And that's, in a nutshell, what this whole gospel is about today. I don't think there could have been a parable that would have been more shocking and upsetting to the people of Jesus' day than this one. The Pharisees, the name Pharisee even comes from the root word pure, they were the ones who were the strictest adherents to the Jewish religion. They were the ones who were looked up to. They were the ones who were doing it right. And to think that Jesus would tell a story where the Pharisee looks like the bad guy did more than turn a few heads. The only thing that would have turned more heads was the fact that he decides that a tax collector walks away more justified and righteous. The tax collectors were despised. These were their own family and friends who traitors they became, and they partner with the Roman government who's on the take for taxes, and they're going to get their cut as well, taking it from them. And even more shocking was even the fact that a tax collector would be in the synagogue. Wow. So, what's Jesus getting at here? Now, the Pharisee, he was doing all the right stuff, fasting twice a week. And not this little Episcopal type of fasting where you eat one huge meal so you don't have to eat the rest of the day. No, they didn't eat, period. Twice a week he did that. This guy's serious about it. And yes, he tithes, gives 10% of his income. And probably all sorts of other things as well. But notice in the little paragraph how many times he uses the word I. It's all about him. I do this, and I do that, and I'm not like them, and I'm certainly not like that tax collector. He has forgotten completely about God. It's important that we do good works, but it has to start with the attitude of our being grateful for the incredible and unbounded grace and mercy that has been given to every one of us. And if it doesn't start there, we might as well give it up. The reason why the tax collector is the one who works, goes home justified, is because at least he's starting from the right place. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He knows it's not about him. So we start with this attitude of knowing that we have been given this incredible, bountiful grace. And as we continue in this season of gratitude, as we approach our stewardship time, this is important that we move back there, because it is from that gratitude that then, yes, I want to live a life of gratitude. So I want to say thank you to God by the way I choose to live my life. What happens with the Pharisee is he skips the first step and he does all this stuff and he says, okay, now that I've done this, God, you have to do this for me because I deserve it. Well, we don't deserve it. And besides, we don't have to work for it because it's given. And that's why Jesus calls the Pharisee on the carpet, so to speak. So it becomes important for us to realize that this grace is for everybody. Everybody. But in our own unique way, we have to realize how God has given it to us. Because the minute that we start comparing ourselves to anybody, we're going to go down a slippery slope. The only one that we can possibly be looking to for comparison is the one who died for us. And if we start there, hopefully there will be such incredible gratitude, because the one from whom all blessings flow is going to enable us then to live that life of gratitude. So, what do we do with all this? Well, if you find yourself right now like that tax collector and needing to be on your knees and saying, God, have merciful to me, a sinner, rejoice in that, because you're at the right place. You're starting with the right motivation. And there are times when, yeah, in our lives we make stupid decisions and we do dumb things and we end up being humiliated. God doesn't cause that, but God can use that to help us to get back to the place where we belong to begin with our motivation. So if that's where you are, rejoice that God has brought you there and now you can move forward. But if you happen to be like the Pharisee and you're finding that there's a lot about me, maybe it's time to slide back a little bit and just think about the incredible, unbounded grace that God gives to each one of us uniquely. And when we do that, then we'll be able to move forward and live in unity, in faith, in hope with everyone. May it be so for us. Amen.